Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. I'm Jerry Bain, and this EDUCAUSE 2009 conference podcast is sponsored by Juniper Networks and Quest Communications International. You can find more podcasts like this on a variety of topics by searching for EDUCAUSE on iTunes or by visiting www.educause.edu/podcasts. This podcast features an interview with Shannon Field, instructional designer for the Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University Prescott campus.
Thanks for joining us today, Shannon.
Thank you.
Your degree is in online education. So it's appropriate to ask, what do you think are the distinct advantages and disadvantages of online and distance learning? A lot of people have questions about that.
Well, I think the advantages for me are accessibility and flexibility. The flexibility has become cliche that anytime, anywhere education is, you know, the flexibility. I think we've covered that. For me, the most powerful element of online education is in being able to access resources outside of our environment. And to be able to have access to mentors, other learners, all these resources outside of your environment, that is the most powerful human condition, you know?
Sure.
And so what we're able to access, especially the humans we can access through social media and through all of this, brings diversity that we would never have in our local environment. We have classmates from all over the world bringing in their diversity. You have access to teachers and mentors all over the world. And in many cases, I think the most powerful thing in the last couple of years is the fact that not only do we have unlimited access to poetry and art and musicians, music, we also have access to the people who create those things. So through social media, we have access to the musician, to the author, to the poet. And that's what's powerful to me.
Well, your enthusiasm is obvious. Let's switch it around now, though, and what are some of the challenges? What are some of the disadvantages of this type of education?
Mm-hmm. To me, the disadvantage is that we are still in the early stages of understanding technology and the human interaction with technology. So anytime the technology gets in the way of our human connection with our teacher, with our fellow learners, that's an obstacle. Obstacles also happen in the traditional classroom. It can be too cold, it can be too hot, you can't hear, there are several things. But with technology, it seems that it really amplifies the disadvantages.
Well, if you could create an ideal learning environment, what attributes would it have? And what would be the ideal characteristics of a faculty member teaching in that sort of environment?
To me, the ideal world would be one where the technology is so transparent that it is truly a human interaction. Because I feel very strongly that that is the teaching environment, the learning environment, is human interaction. And so the ideal environment would be one with true natural language, where we're not having to use technology as inputs, but that the way we naturally speak, the way we naturally interact, would be translated transparently through the technology.
Are there some tools that are out there right now that you can think of? I mean, I just naturally think of Second Life. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Absolutely. In fact, my students, I also teach some courses as an adjunct, and my students presented this morning in Second Life. And it's just always very interesting to see all the interesting ways they interact in environments like that. But, you know, I think it's just that we're so limited right now, but we have so much out there if it could all be brought together in ways that interact together. For instance, if you're creating a video with one software, one that I have in mind, it will connect with your eyes. And so then as you create the video, that avatar will have the same gestures as you do. And, you know, all the different social medias, each one of them have their strengths. And if we could bring the power of all of them into something that was universal, I think we would be very far ahead in communicating.
Sure. You know, there's been a great debate about the role of learning management systems. That question or that discussion gets around to, well, what's the value of these things and how much effort should we put into them? Could you give us your take on the best ways to use and consider these learning management systems?
And I've had experience with all the major learning systems. I'm very comfortable in all of them. I actually design in many of them. And I teach in them. I taught in these long before I was an instructional designer. And I believe that they are simply a classroom. And the role to me is that of a classroom. When you walk into a classroom, you have an environment for students to learn in which they can learn. You have maybe a projector, you have maybe a computer in there, you have desks. And I see the learning management system in the same way. The learning management system is a classroom environment, a learning environment that has specific tools. Where I'm often dismayed by the fact that some of our brightest and most creative faculty are often, they're having to curtail what they do to fit the learning management system. Mm. They don't have to, but they mm-hmm. seem to do that, where they would never do that in a traditional classroom. They would move chairs around. They would have people. They would bring in outside resources. They would do whatever they had to.
So that's a challenge.
I believe that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Some of the faculty on my campus refer to our LMS as clunky or not always so smooth. Is mm-hmm. that what we're talking about here? Are there still some bugs to work out in these things? Or
not only bugs. I think at least it's been my experience, and I actually do have my students evaluate our learning management system each semester, compared to the tools that are available free online, it is clunky. Our students find it clunky.
The learning management system.
The discussion board, in comparison to many of the blogs and the tools that students have at their disposal, free online, are considered clunky to them. The way that we present things compared to Even their YouTube experience or any of the things that they are able to create online seem very clunky in the learning management system.
Yeah, we're all consumers of these new technologies, and so everybody comes into the classroom environment or wherever with some predisposed kind of ideas about how things ought to work.
Absolutely. So. And, you know, in that free environment, it's so creative. People create something new and they can
sure.
throw it out there and you can use that one tool. A learning management system has to fit so many different environments that they have to go through a development period, a testing period, and so it just stands to reason that they'll be a little behind on some of the new bells and whistles.
Yeah. So what are the top technology-related concerns that you have in your current role? What are the things that kind of keep you awake at night, so to speak?
The major concern for me is always accessibility. At Emory-Riddle, we have many military students and people who are serving in the field, and they're our students. So I want to know that everything we develop, that they're going to be able to access. So that's a huge concern. Another one is assessment. Online, we're still struggling with how to
sure.
properly assess, not only an authentic assessment, but also make sure those are the people we're assessing and that they really do know what they're mm-hmm. being tested on.
Do you ever worry about, or do you have to deal with concerns of the technological capabilities of the students? Somebody sitting out there hundreds of miles away or thousands of miles away, and they don't quite know how to operate their desktop computer or laptop, let alone the course management system. Is that a challenge that some teachers have in this environment?
It is a challenge because many of the faculty are dealing with their own insecurity.
Yeah, sure.
And so, you know, for me, I think we do have a certain type of faculty and a certain type of student who will thrive in this. Not that they know everything, but that they will have a sense of adventure and curiosity. And the same things we seek in our students, they're seeking in us, that we'd be flexible, not take ourselves too seriously, mm-hmm. give ourselves time to fit into the environment.
Well, this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything else that you want to add about the teaching and learning environment?
No, other than I grew up 50 miles from town, and so my bus ride was 100 miles every day.
Wow.
I did not have
wow.
access, you know, except on the weekends to the library, and so to me, online, it's especially important to me that online is giving people who are remote or mm-hmm. or physically challenged or whatever, it gives them an opportunity for the same resources.
Well, it's a great background for you to fully understand your role, because you can look back on your history and say, gee, that was tough getting into the classroom.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
A real earnest appreciation for it. That's
yes.
That's for sure.
Passion. Absolutely.
Right. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
This EDUCAUSE 2009 conference podcast is sponsored by Juniper Networks and Quest Communications International.